Can you believe we are one episode away from 200? I'm so excited. And this episode is going to be really good with so much fun information. I've got some extra stuff too that we're going to go over, like TikTok dropping its creator fund. And I went to Patreon's Creator Fest and I want to tell you all the juicy details. So let's do this. Welcome to the Women of YouTube podcast. This podcast is hosted by me, Desiree Martins. Every week, I'm going to be showing up in your earbuds to inspire you on your YouTube journey with killer interviews with women YouTube creators, deep dives into the inner workings of how YouTube works, and discussing all the things about YouTube culture and the impact it is having on our world. This podcast is brought to you in partnership with vidIQ, where they help you maximize your video's YouTube reach by studying titles, descriptions, tags, and playlists relevant to your subject matter, while also studying your competitors to help you know exactly what you should be doing for your YouTube growth. So if you're a female creator looking to grow your channel, level up your content, and learn from the best women creators on the platform to get you on your way to YouTube success and future-proofing your income, this is the perfect place for you. Let's do this. What's up, ladies? Welcome to episode of the Women of Video podcast. I am once again so excited to be up in your earballs at 199 episodes worth of earball magic. I cannot believe that this has happened. Like, oh my gosh. This has been years in the making. I mean, we are over 4 years at this a little bit. And when I started this, it was just, I just wanted a way to, I was really irritated that I couldn't find women educators to teach me the YouTube ways. It was all of the dudes, and the dudes are doing a great job. They're crushing, doing their things. And I care for them a great deal, but I wanted the women who understand my life, my struggles as a mom, as a woman, as a wife, as a creator. Like, what are the things that they deal with, we deal with, that like we need to talk about, have conversations with to support each other? Women need women. We are group oriented. We are village focused, and we can learn and know, and we just do things a little bit better, a little bit different than our male counterparts. And so being able to share that is going to be amazing. So I first want to take a second to talk about why the TikTok Creator Fund is going away. I'll make sure we have the link for this in the show notes. It's important to note that the creative fund, the creativity fund that you have to apply for, you have to have 10,000 followers and like a certain amount of watch time in a 30-day period to qualify for this program, where it pays you. And apparently it pays you pretty solid. But the era of the creator fund is gone. Like Facebook Meta, they were the first one to drop it. They dropped it at the end of 2022. And they kind of do random paying for things now, but it's nothing like it used to be. Like I knew people that were making tens of thousands of dollars from the creator fund for Meta, and they just got rid of it. And now people are making like maybe hundreds off of it from doing the same amount of work. And then TikTok is getting rid of their creator fund. They had $2 billion in it, and they wouldn't even have any idea if it was even completely all used or drained out. But they're like, we're not doing this anymore, this collaborative thing. Really putting YouTube as the only creator space that is giving money in partnership with creators for the work that they do. And I think that's why so many people are also posting what they're doing from TikTok, from Facebook, from Instagram over onto YouTube so they can get that residual income and build that audience there. No matter what struggles or what the things that are happening with YouTube that can be frustrating, like algorithmic reach, fighting for attention, browse versus SEO, all of the things, YouTube is still, I think, the most consistent place to build community and continuously connect and communicate with your audience. So I thought that was really interesting tea that got spilled and shared, and I was just super, super interesting to see that they had made that choice. I don't ever think it's a good idea not to pay people. So I think it's kind of let me say this again. It's never a good idea not to pay people. However, TikTok has a lot of really great options for making money away from the creator fund. Like you can join all the partnership programs. Like TikTok Shop is amazing when it comes to selling, because not only is it like it's not just about advertisers. As a business, I can put my products up and people can buy them, and I can give commissions for things that you already have or you're doing, like this microphone or this camera or this phone case or the pants I'm wearing that I bought off of TikTok. Like I can talk about them. If I've qualified for the program, I can get commissions every time something is sold. Like right now, that viral crisscross applesauce chair. Like, I literally bought it from a new podcast studio that I'm building for another brand I'm working with. Like, all the things. Okay. All the things. Like, it's a great way to make money. So, like, we have more, I think, diversifying options within TikTok than we do with other platforms for making money. But the Creator Fund is no more. So now before we dive into my talk with Molly, I really would like to talk about the Patreon Creator Fest event I went to. So this is the first in real life event Patreon has done since before the pandemic. I think the last one they did was 2019, maybe even 2018. And for those of you that don't know, Patreon is a membership platform that has really great rates. They only take 2% off of anything that you charge over on there. There's different tiers. It's probably one of the most common places for people to go for memberships when it comes to communicating and connecting with your community. This is even more than like platforms like Uscreen and things like that. Like, this is a different thing. And the thing that's so amazing, so I listened to Jack Conte, who is the co-founder of Patreon, talk about his whole journey. And I hope for the life of me that they put this up somewhere for you to watch. When they put it up somewhere, I will do an episode drop mention of it, so y'all know that it's happening, because this was a really incredible creator event. Because they talked, he was able, it's like he went into my brain, took all of my fears, my frustrations, my struggles, and like voiced them to the entire audience, because he, as a creator himself, as a musician, he is so frustrated with the current state of where things are in the creator economy. What I really loved is he broke down like the evolution of the internet. We had web 1.0 in the 1990s. We had web 2.0 in the 2000s, which ended with like the dawn of like all the social networks being built and all these platforms for communicating and building communities. And then the 2010s era came, and those platforms evolved from sequential friends and communities to a ranking system where, rather than seeing everything in order and everything all the time, it was basically what gets interacted with and engaged with the more. Let's push that higher up onto the newsfeed so that gets engaged with more. So then we as creators are then fighting the game of scene and visualness from our audience. Like, every platform, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, all of them have the ranking system. And from this ranking system, it makes it much harder for our content to be seen and to be found, which is minimizing reach, which minimizes our followers, which even further minimizes our potential for creating real, true fans. And if we're trying to do that all on these creator platforms, it can get really, really hard. And so he talks about how right now he's really worried that we are heading into the 2020s, the death of the follower era, which was the name of his session, the death of the follower. And I thought that it was super fascinating, the idea that because of this ranking system, having followers is just not hitting or doing it anymore, which is why every time someone is interacting with a piece of your content, having a call to action to get them to a way for you to continue to talk to them has to be our number one priority. From day one of your YouTube channel, from day one of the content creation that you're creating, you have to be collecting that information so that you are going to be able to have success to talk to that audience in another way, in another place. So I do that through email, and I actually went and talked to Jack about this after he was done. He really shared like what Patreon is doing now. It's evolved from just a membership place to having three different tiers where it's media, community, and business. And within these segments, like media, you can now do a podcasting, video, and media player capabilities in the platform. From community, they now have chats, they have posting abilities, and they have free memberships are now available within Patreon. And then they have the business part, which is going to have commerce memberships and live events and launches that you can do within your community, all within Patreon. So they're basically creating the hub for your followers and your true fans to continue to connect and communicate with you in a much better, more constructive way. And I went and talked to Jack after his session to tell him how much I enjoyed it, but asking him the very pivotal questions, like, okay, you have solved the problem of staying in touch with our audience. How do we take them from our media, from these social networks that are struggling with, to this platform? And he is like, we are not going to ever create our own social network. So you need to have that bridge through data collection. So that's why they have the capabilities for like email marketing tools like MailChimp or ConvertKit to connect and funnel into your Patreon. So if someone as like the co-founder of Patreon is saying, build an email list to drive traffic to where you can communicate with your followers, like if that doesn't reinforce or make this a priority for you, I don't know what else could possibly. Like it's really, please go. Please be there. Please do the things because it's so important for you to be there. So yeah. So on that money-making subject, to get us fired up for our topic today, I talked with Molly, who is focused. She's on a mission to help creators monetize your following with passive digital products, which you can host and sell on Patreon, by the way. Like you can put them up there. So you don't have to have a whole separate website or structure or whatever in place to do that. And so that way you can build a full-time living. Like she has found such great success with doing this. And we go into so many things. We talk about how she's doing it, what you can do, action steps, all the things. So with that all being said, next week on our 200th episode, I have so many thoughts, so many feelings I will be sharing and what's going to be happening with the State of the Women of Video going forward. I promise we're not going anywhere. And what you can expect and where you can go to connect and build those deeper relationships together. So now, without further ado, here's Molly. I think my favorite part about this conversation that we are about to do for all of you listening is that we're going to be talking about money in a way that makes so much sense because it's so creator focused. And I brought Molly over to help us do this. I can't wait to talk with you, Molly.
Yay. I'm so excited to be here. Like, absolutely love what you're doing, helping more women get on video and YouTube and everything. So I'm stoked to be here.
All right. Well, as always, why video?
Why video? So I started out in 2014. I already had built a successful photo studio and other people were asking me how I did it. And I started with blogging and I blogged every week for years. But when I started this business, I knew that video was going to be the way. Like that's right now, video is just one of the faster ways to grow, whether it's on Reels or TikToks or Shorts or YouTube. But also I feel like you can really build a deeper relationship with that know, like, and trust. And it's also great for repurposing. So just a lot of different ways, but I really think video is like it's already here. I can't say it's the future, but it's like the best platform for you to be on for creating content and any video platform really.
Yeah, obviously I don't disagree with you, almost 200 episodes in. Your episode, by the way, our episode is 199. Like, we are one episode away from 200 here.
I'm so close to lucky 200.
It's going to be so cool. I'm excited. I can't believe I've been doing this for 4 years. Okay. So tell us, what is the content that you create and who is it focused for?
Yeah. So I help content creators to monetize their content with digital information products. So like I said, when I first started years ago in 2014, I did blogging and right away I knew the importance of growing your audience at the same time that you're growing your email list. So I right away made a freebie with an opt-in and grew my email list. But the most important thing too, to like make it full-time as a creator is to actually have something that you sell, because like swag doesn't really have super high profit margins. Like you'd have to go super high volume to make like a full-time living off of that. Mm-hmm. And then also AdSense is great, but I don't really recommend like relying on it fully. Look at it as like extra money. But so for me, I really like helping content creators to monetize with digital info products. So like eBooks, guides, courses, things like that.
Okay. So, I want to know how you got here. What was the journey that led you to being the like digital product like master?
Yeah. So I think the most important thing to know is that I made $8 million in revenue with digital products in a niche.
Hold on. Yes. That's amazing.
Thank you.
You deserve all of the claps and kudos. That's phenomenal. We're obviously going to ask the question how. But please continue what you're saying.
Yeah. So I just wanted to share that I did that before I started teaching on digital products. So I'm not somebody who just teaches, like I'm not someone who just has a digital product on digital products. Like I grew a successful photo studio to multiple six figures. Photographers asked me how I did it. So I turned that into eBooks and courses and I made $8 million from that first. So I just want to let you guys know, like I am qualified to help you turn the information you already have inside of you into a digital product that can help your following, whether you're a new creator or you're a seasoned creator. And I just think it's one of the greatest ways to help your followers on a deeper level. And then, of course, it sounds cheesy, but, you know, make a full-time living doing what you love.
No, I couldn't agree more. Okay, so how did you figure this out?
Yeah, that's a good question. So first I just started, well, actually first what I did, so I had my photo studio and I started with like coaching and workshops, but I quickly realized, you know, I'm already so busy trading my time for money with the photo stuff. So I was at a women's business conference and somebody told me about, they're like, there's this new thing called eBooks, which now that we're recording this, you know, they've been around for a long time. But, and I thought, wow, this, I can take the same information that I'm teaching in like coaching and workshops and put it into this digital file, which essentially is just a digital PDF, right? Mm-hmm. So I took one of my most popular strategy for getting our photo clients. And I put that into an eBook called Model Call. And over, I believe it was a 4-year period, we did over 500K from a $59 ebook. So it's like, it's not enough to just make an ebook. You have to actually have information that's going to actually help people. But if you can actually help someone solve a painful problem that they have, the cool thing about digital products is you make it once and you can sell it an unlimited number of times. But I'm definitely not here to talk about get rich quick. Like you have to actually have a skill set that you can help people with to help them actually solve a painful problem.
Okay. So I think the thing I'm the most curious about is that it's how you got your product in front of people to buy. Like how did you go through that process? Like how did you find them? How did they find you? Like how do we build audiences to buy these products?
Yeah, for sure. So at first I just put it up on my website and I was like, why am I not getting any sales? And then like a few days later, I got one sale and then a couple weeks later, one sale. So, you know, I didn't really realize at the time that it's because I didn't have consistent traffic, right? So in order to get consistent sales, you need to have consistent traffic. Like sometimes people will put a digital product up and they'll think, oh, no one's buying it, so the digital product must suck. But it's like no one even knows if it's good or not if they aren't buying it. So the problem isn't the product at that point. The problem is the traffic. So for my first business, you know, I did blogging and Pinterest, which worked back then. And I do still know some people doing that. But for me personally, I think like YouTube is the platform to be on right now. So with my current business, Freedom Creator, I started on YouTube and YouTube has been a freaking ride.
Yes, for sure.
At first I was like, well, I have all this experience making content on Facebook and Instagram and this will be easy. Like I'll be able to figure out YouTube, no problem, right? So I start just putting out videos, titling them based on what I think is a good title. And I think I got 50, maybe 100 views. I did that for about a year and then I'm like, okay, I think I need to actually learn from some people. So I've bought a plethora of YouTube programs. I went to VidSummit. This is the t-shirt from the the event. And I learned a lot about YouTube. And yeah, do you want me to share some tips of what's working for me on YouTube?
I mean, if you're just going to give them away, I would totally love for our people to have that.
Yeah, totally. So, I mean, first of all, I want to say I've had a lot of people say well, you don't actually need to have good lighting or good camera equipment or a good backdrop. And I got to tell you guys, I had that same mentality, but once I upgraded, my views did increase. So as much as I would love to tell you, you can just pick up your phone and start recording, which you could start that way. But when I did upgrade stuff, it did actually make a difference in my views. And when I was a beginner on YouTube, I wish someone had that answer for me. So that's why I wanted to share that. But what's working great for me now is simply researching in my particular niche, what is doing well. And of course, you know, running with that, but putting my own spin, I share my story and what's worked for me. But I really think the biggest thing is really good packaging, thumbnails and titles, because it's kind of like your digital product. If it's not selling, you think the product's not good. Or if you're not getting views on your videos, you think the video is not good. But the thing is that if you're not getting views, typically that means that people aren't even clicking to the video, right? So I would say focusing mostly on the packaging and getting views and then looking at their attention and focusing on that. I mean, literally we could talk about YouTube for hours, but those are probably my top things that I wish I would have heard from day one.
I find the thing that you had mentioned about the gear and equipment very interesting because I
me think too.
That I think that it was so easy for us to say that, you know, quite a few years ago, but I think in our post-COVID era when like equipment and lighting and cameras are so readily available to us, it's really, I think, very necessary. And now, granted, you can still use your phone. Mm-hmm. Like your phone is like a really good quality.
The phone is pretty good quality.
You just maybe get a little mic attachment to level it up so that it can sound really good and it makes the world of difference. I know I had started with my webcam and it would work. And like how I made my webcam better is I bought an app for my Apple computer called Webcam Settings. And it turned like my webcam into like a photo, like a really nice looking camera, and like having the right lighting really helps too. So it's one of those things, like I couldn't agree with you more. Like there is a quality expectation when we're talking about content.
I think too, depending on niche, because like if you're a tech creator,
oh yeah,
you know, like they're going to expect you a certain level, right? And I thought it was a myth. I was like, no, it just depends on the quality of the content I'm delivering. But like in my space, it's all a lot of high quality as well. So I think when people click on the video and they can tell like you're newer, maybe they just click away.
Yeah, I think that also too, like in business spaces, like when you're proving something very professional, any like the money space, I think that like people forgive vlogging, like for like, they forgive quality when they're vlogging, right? Like mm-hmm. I'm on the go, I'm out and about doing stuff, like that kind of thing. But yeah, I couldn't agree with you more with that. I think it's a really important piece.
Look, I'm really sorry to interrupt, but did you know that YouTube is the world's second biggest search engine? Maybe you did, maybe you didn't, but that's why every creator truly needs to be using vidIQ to grow their YouTube channel. vidIQ's tech helps you tailor your video ideas to match what people are searching for right now on YouTube. And once you're ready to upload, well, it starts optimizing and getting you all the details that you need to make sure your videos are getting noticed. If you really want to dive in more and get started for free, please head over to thewomenofyoutube.com/vidIQ to get started on this YouTube channel changing tool that is going to make things so much easier for you. All right, let's get back to it.
Okay, so how are you? I don't even know like where to go. There's so many questions in my brain.
I know. And I can definitely talk more about how to actually make sales with it. It's just like, there's so many pieces.
There's so many pieces. And I also like, as much as I want you to give away information, I also want people to go subscribe to your YouTube channel and go get your digital product so that you can help them amplify what they're doing. I think the question that I have is, how do we as creators and all, whatever we may be, how do we figure out what digital product we should make?
Ooh, I love that. And really quick, just to close the loop on the like, how do you get sales thing? Obviously, you know, it's hard to answer it in like 2 minutes, right? But just to kind of give you an overview, you know, create the digital product that solves the problem, create consistent traffic to that product. And in theory, you should get sales, but obviously there's a lot more to it in terms of like the messaging and the branding and the data and all of that. So, okay. How as creators, what was it?
As creators, how can we figure out what digital product to make?
Okay, great. Love this. So what I always teach my students is the first thing you need to do, you should already be creating content, obviously. If you don't already have a freebie to build your email list, then that is what you need to be doing right away. Like whether you have 10,000 followers or you're at zero, because you can grow the email list as you grow your following. But if you wait, you're missing out on all of those followers that didn't get on your email list. Now, once you have your email list to at least 100 email subscribers, the more the better, you want to send them a survey. And this is where you can ask them things like, you know, to find out what it is they do for a living. And it has to do with your niche, so it's kind of hard to give examples. But for my niche, for example, I would say, you know, do you want to go full-time as a creator? Like, what are you struggling with most with your content? Or what are you struggling most with your business? And you essentially ask them these questions. You can use Google Forms. It's totally free through Google Drive. And you send out a survey and they will tell you like, I am struggling most with this, or I am struggling most with this. And then you find where your expertise and their pain point that they have merges. And then that's the digital product that you should create.
Okay. So Let's work through this, I think, a little bit. Let's feel this out. So let's say I don't want to do the easy ones. I think that the easy ones probably are things like in the cooking space. I probably think mine is probably pretty easy. Like, you know, I have a lot of things I can do. Like, I want to make a Facebook course. I want to sell content, spread planning sheets, all that kind of stuff. What about someone who's like maybe like a video gamer or in the beauty space? What would it be a good digital product for them to sell?
Yeah. So I actually talked with some gamers at VidSummit because I'll just be honest, like I haven't worked with a ton of gaming channels. Mm-hmm. And so I talked to a lot of them at VidSummit because I know the day will come when I have a student that is a gamer and I want to be able to give them answers. Mm-hmm. So I talked to these people, unfortunately, I can't remember their names, but they were amazing. And what we came up with was mostly just creating a community. So some kind of paid community or paid membership, because I find that people in the gaming space, you know, a lot of times it's more about the community. Like maybe they want to game together or share tips together, or obviously it depends a lot on like, what is the game? But I remember this is super, you know, I loved super nerdy. I think I put in over 900 hours on Animal Crossing in 2020. I loved that game. And if there would have been, I would have paid for a paid community. I was in like this free Facebook group. It was kind of crappy. And people were like, you had to like go to like the dark side of the web to get these like free little icons and stuff.
Okay.
And if someone would have had like, oh, this is a paid Discord, or this is a, this, you know, a community for Animal Crossing, like I would have absolutely joined that. And so I think that that's what it would be for gamers. That for the beauty space, there's so many different things you could do. You could do, it depends what kind of beauty channel you have, but let's say you have makeup, you could have a course around makeup looks. Like, can you give me maybe like a more specific beauty example?
Let's say if I'm doing makeup for women 30 to 50.
Okay. Yeah. So I would figure out, why do they want to learn how to better do their makeup? Like, it's not just to look better, right? It's probably to be more confident at work, or to look hotter on date nights, or like there's going to be like a really specific reason that they want to learn how to do their makeup better or dress better or whatever it is their channel's around. And then the closer you can get the messaging to their actual wording of what the problem is and why they want to do that, that will help your product sell a lot more. But yeah, for beauty, it's really just what problems are they having, and then what can you solve? And it doesn't matter if it's a guide or an ebook or a membership or a course. Like, the type of digital product, I usually look at what's the problem I'm solving, and then which of these types of digital product is the best delivery method for that thing. Like, if you are solving a problem that has no end to it, then a membership might be great. If you're solving a problem that they can get a result in 6 weeks, then maybe it's a course, or maybe it's an ebook, or maybe it's a guide. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I love all of those things. Like, I think it's really smart. Do you have a suggestion on like a platform to host these things on? Like, how do we, like, what's from a backend perspective? Like, I think a lot of us know we can make them like in Canva, Adobe Express, even a simple PDFs that we can export from Google or something like that. But where's the home for these? Cause I know that Etsy is not the place for it. So where should the home of our digital products be?
Yeah, I definitely don't recommend selling on Etsy. Love that. So if you're hosting a little digital product, like a ebook or a guide or something like that, I actually recommend just hosting it in Google Drive. It's free. You just can get the share link. And then basically once someone purchases, you can set up your checkout page to automatically deliver them an email with that hosted link. Mm-hmm. Now, to do the checkout page and the delivery of the email, I use system.io. And if you go in the description of any of my YouTube videos, I have a link where you can get a free account. It's not a free trial. It's a free account for up to 2,000 email subscribers. Nice. So you can, I use it for everything. I use it for email, website, blog, hosting products, checkout pages, funnels, like literally everything to run my whole business. And then as far as hosting a membership or a course, like that type of product, I would also recommend hosting that in system.io as well.
Okay. That's good to know. Okay. So we've talked a lot about like the good stuff. Like, we've talked about like how you built this money, all the money you've been able to earn, how we can do it as well. What have been some of the struggles that you have faced as a content creator, and how have you been able to overcome them?
Yeah. I would say one of the things that I think held my channel back from growing was not being clear enough on my niche. And before you run away, because everyone talks about niche and it's super annoying, I swear I have tangible information here. So when I first started, I just started creating videos about anything. It was like, what's on my desk? How I made $1 million, like me doing, I did a vlog in Costa Rica, like just random, like how to build a course, you know? But when I took the time to actually research on YouTube, the different niches that already existed on YouTube and then join one of those niches or communities, if you will, that is another one of the things that really helped my channel grow. So in the beginning, I was talking about all this different stuff, right? And when I went to research like online courses, I realized that there were a lot of like a decent amount of videos on it, but none of them are really getting a lot of views. And what I realized was there's this whole niche on YouTube about digital products specifically. And once I entered that niche that was already existed, already had a lot of views, was already doing really well, that is when my channel started growing. I mean, there's obviously not just one thing that made my channel, because I went from 150 subs a month to now I'm doing over 2,200 a month in just a few months' time. So it's really started to take off, but again, there's not just like one thing that made it work, but the niching down, as much as you're probably sick of hearing it, like it's actually really important.
Yeah, we're in the really weird phase and era like of the niche, because so many people are talking about like get a niche down. People are like, don't go niche too much far down because otherwise you're going to have problems. And
I like, do agree, like you can't go too broad and you can't go too niche. Yeah. Or like you can't, you have to be like in a sweet spot. I agree.
Yeah, it's like it's like literally the three bears of like content creation, and I totally understand it. It's
and really it depends the type of channel you have, because if you're like a challenge creator like Mr. Beast, like going broad is probably really good. So it's like,
yeah, it's how much shock and awe can I have here, right? So many, it's so interesting, and like trying to find your niche is really hard. So sorry to interrupt our episode. I know we're getting really into it, but are you looking for a powerful, easy to use tool that can help you take your video to the next level? If so, I've got just the tool for you. Today's episode is brought to you by Adobe Express, the all-in-one solution for all of your content creation needs. With Adobe Express, you can easily create stunning videos, design eye-catching thumbnails, clip and trim your videos with ease, and schedule your content for social media. One of the standout features of Adobe Express is the range of thumbnail templates that are available. With dozens of customizable templates to choose from, you can create thumbnails that are both visually appealing, informative, and help your videos stand out on that crowded home feed of YouTube. And when it comes to video clipping, it makes it so much easier to repurpose your content from those long-form videos to all of the other vertical video platforms, and you can easily share them with the scheduling tool within Adobe Express. So if you're ready to take your content creation to the next level, head over to Adobe Express and start your free trial today. You can find the link to get signed up for today over in our show notes at womenofvideo.com. And remember, Adobe Express is the perfect tool for taking your content to the next episode. All right, back to the episode. So talk to us about like, how are you able to incorporate content creation and what you're doing like into your life, into the systems of what you're doing? I know for me, sometimes I find it difficult to create content like around like my kids and my husband and the obligations of my life. How are you finding that balance?
Yeah. So I understand not everyone's going to be able to do this from day one. So just know that I know that and you will get there. But since I did already have a business previous, and I did have, you know, a decent amount of money saved and all that, I did get an editor pretty much from day one. I think I only edited maybe two of my videos. So I understand not everyone can start with that, but I do also see way too many creators waiting way too long to offboard their editing. They're like, no, I can't. No one can edit like I can. Spoiler alert. Yes, they can. And they can probably do a better job because they're a dedicated editor. So for me, I really lean on delegation. So for my channel, I actually started out using this agency called VidPros. And it's $700 a month for unlimited editing.
Who edits all my videos?
Oh, nice. Yeah. I've used them for 2 years. I just now have a team internally, but I do recommend them.
Yeah, they're the best.
That's awesome. I love that they edit yours. And yeah, they do all the thumbnails too. Mm-hmm. So if, you know, in $700 a month, I get like day one, that might not be feasible, but I feel like that's really affordable. So if you can work towards it, you know. And then I also have, so I have a thumbnail designer I just hired recently, and I'll give you guys a tip. Someone told me to go on Twitter, which I never use Twitter, but go on Twitter and search for YouTube thumbnail designer, and you can literally scroll through and they have like all their examples of their work. And it took me like 2 hours to find an amazing thumbnail designer. So that would be my tip for that.
Save everyone a whole bunch of time. Customthumbnails.com.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Thumbnails.
Yeah. And then I also have a virtual assistant. So essentially the only things that I'm doing is the scripting and then recording the videos. I actually trained my VA on how to do all the research. So I basically, my answer is, how do I balance it? I have a team. Like there's, I actually don't understand how people do it all. Like it's so much work. So if you're struggling and you're like, I'm the only one struggling. No, you're not. Like YouTube's a lot of work. It's so worth it though, but you just have to, you're going to have to sacrifice in the beginning, but just know that like you can eventually offload and delegate, and it doesn't have to be complicated. Like I just have one contractor for thumbnails, one contractor for editing, and one contractor for virtual assisting, like helping me. And so typically on Mondays I do the scripting, and then on Fridays I record. I try to record as many videos as I can, like 2 to 4 or more videos, so that we can batch schedule them and get them scheduled out ahead. Because like when I went to Vid Summit, I got a little bit behind because I traveled like 3 weeks in a row. And so for me, it's like, I have to schedule in advance in case things come up.
I did that when we went to England for 2 weeks. I was like, I got to get ahead.
Yeah.
Right now I'm in a weird issue, struggle with like my content being behind. So yeah, I mean, you can get ahead, take that time, even if it requires like tapping into like some personal time to get ahead, because mm-hmm. it's going to be really vital for your success.
And make a schedule. And like, I will say, I don't have kids, so I can't give you guys advice on that. But what I will say is like, no matter what you have going on in your life, I think, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, Desiree, but as long, you have to like schedule the time and make the time. And obviously with kids, you know, if they get sick or something happens, like there's not really a whole lot you could do. But if you try your best to actually schedule the time, it'll go a lot better than just like hoping you find the time, you know?
Yeah. And I know that sometimes some of our listeners, they do things like as they're on about while they're doing things. Like if you have like a running list of like videos that you're working on and content you're doing, like, but if you set aside time to do the recording or do planning and execution on things, it's going to be really helpful for you to get things done. So mm-hmm. all of the things that, that Miss Molly said here, I think it's important for us to.
Yeah. Do you have a lot of people listening that do like Instagram, or is it mostly YouTube?
So we focus. So I mean, it's Women of Video. So, you know, we rebranded Women of YouTube into Women of Video at the beginning of 2022, because when I had started the podcast in 2019 at Vid Summit, it was YouTube was like the only place people were creating content. And then it was then COVID started, and it was like, no, we're going to need to do all these other things and all the things exploded. Plus,
yeah, that's when all the shorts and TikToks and all that exploded.
Yeah, you shouldn't build things based off of other people's copyrighted names and stuff like that. It's not like I got a letter or anything. I was just proactive.
Yeah. Right.
So, I mean, if you have some insider tips about Instagram.
Yeah, I was just going to share kind of how I keep up with Instagram, because there's a lot of people out there teaching like, oh, just wake up and create content every day. And it's like, I could never do that. I don't want to wake up, or I don't want to like document my life as I'm living it. So what I do for Instagram Reels is one day a month, I write all of my hooks and captions, and we do 5 reels a week. So I write all the hooks and captions, and then I record video clips. So like if I'm doing 30 videos in a month, I'll record 30 clips. And then my VA edits the hook and the video and finds a trending song and puts the caption and posts it. So I batch all of that just one day per month. So basically the takeaway here is, you know, you don't need to be waking up and being like, I need to make this. Like try to carve out a whole day or 2 days or something to like batch all of it ahead, because I could never just go ahead and wake up and just create. Like, yeah, I have to like think about it and strategize and plan it.
No, I get it. For me, I have like a spreadsheet. Like I have, it's my spreadsheet where I have it divided up into like, it's like, I have like the admin stuff, like record them, no published date, like when it's going to go up. But I have like my video title. I'm looking at it right now. Video title, like my thumbnail face, like what I'm going to do with my face. Like, like that's the face.
I don't know why, but this one works really well for me. And people always comment, it's such an annoying face. I'm like, yeah, but I have an 11 click through rate.
Yeah, like
I don't know what to tell you.
Like it's so funny because they recently did a study talked about like thumbnails with like the open mouth don't do well, but I think that's like because
I think it really depends. You got to test it.
No, I think what it is, everyone got sick of seeing the like Mr. Beast mouth all the time, and so it's like, but he's the one that did that. But and then I have like thumbnail words, like what are the words that are gonna go on my thumbnail, and then I always have like inspirational examples, and I have like notes where it's like, oh, based like ideas from this video, or like this is a sponsored video, or things like that. So I totes get it.
Yeah, that's awesome. And that's why you're creating content, because you're, you know, organized.
Not as organized as I should be right now, but yeah.
Well, we can always improve. Yeah.
I'm dealing with the like faith, like my YouTube channel is like going down and my numbers are not great, but like I go look at my competitors and their views and stuff are all down. So I just feel like everyone has
if your whole niche is down, then that's interesting.
The whole content industry, I think, is just having fatigue. And what's so funny is like when you go in the analytics of like my YouTube studio, it says, what affects your channel's performance last month? And it said less revenue from ads. And literally one of the things is like less advertising activity on YouTube, which can correspond to certain events, time of year, your content, or other factors. So basically,
it's hard for me because I just got monetized and I'm already doing $700 a month, which is way more than because I just got monetized. But for me, everyone's like complaining that things are down, but for me, since I just entered, like it's only up for me, you know what I mean? So like,
and also like, you have to think like what it is that you talk about. Like, you talk about money.
That's
right?
True. I have a high, what is it? CPM or whatever.
Yeah. So like when you talk about money, like it allows for you to have that like really high, you know, CPM so that people are, you know, really getting
it. I think they say the number one CPM is like finance, and then the number two is like make money, which is mine. I think mine's like $13 or $14 CPM or something. So it's pretty
high. Yeah. Mine and like I'm about in that kind of space too, but I was going to say
you would be make money because you're kind of like how to make money with content and stuff.
My stuff is more like in the like social space away from the money space.
I would think social would still be decent, right?
Businessy, so it's like mid-grade, right? But like the really low CPMs are the people that are like gamers and stuff. But also like the business space is down right now, so like it was really great through COVID. So
I just want new creators listening to not be discouraged, because like, you know, people that have been at it for a while, they're seeing it down, but when you're new, things only go up. So just keep that in mind if you're a new creator.
Yeah, like I said, the whole space is interesting. Like it's always ebbs and flows. Like one person's down year is another person's like growth year. And that's why we do this podcast.
I personally think YouTube has changed a lot recently, and a lot of creators have not pivoted. So like the space that I'm in, at least, a lot of people are still creating videos for SEO, and that this is just my opinion and also what works for me, but that's just not the way to go anymore. Like right now you want to try to rank for a homepage and like suggested. Mm-hmm. And so like all my videos that pop off really fast, like the one that just got 14,000 views in 3 days, like it has hardly anything from search. It's all for a homepage and that. And I've just noticed a lot of my competitors that have done really well over the years, like they just aren't willing to like pivot. From like the whole creating tutorials with SEO thing, and YouTube just like doesn't favor that anymore.
And you have to play two parts of it, right? Like I just put up a video on my channel that's like how to make a Facebook business page. Obviously that's like a SEO driven one, but it's also like that's a one that sits on my channel for the next year that will continue to do traffic. Mm-hmm. But then I also have other videos I'll do that will be for SEO or for traffic, like how to make a whole week of content from one video, or stop selling on social media. I said what I said, like that's a really popular video on my channel right now.
Oh, good.
Because it's a home feed, like browsy one, right? So, and then you also have the, and like when you like hit the point, like where like you're a day or two out of your video, if you can send it to your email list, that really helps it too.
Mm.
So it's all of the things. It's all a web. We're always building and snowballing what we're doing to make our content hit and be better. Molly, we've learned so much from you today and we got such great insights. Like you and I got to, I love this like back and forth. I don't get to back and forth. You ask me questions. I love it when people ask me questions.
I had one time I had a host say, don't ask me questions. This is about you. I'm like, it's a conversation.
Yeah, no, okay. No. But where can we follow you on the places online, like on the tube, so that we can go learn more from you?
Yeah, I would love for you guys to check out YouTube just because, you know, I can only share so much in 30 minutes. And if you want like more in depth, you know, and then it's just Molly Keyser, K-E-Y-S-E-R on YouTube.
And we'll make sure to have the link to her stuff all over in our show notes at womenavideo.com. Ladies, episode 199. Woo! I cannot wait for 200. We're going to do, I have a whole like in my feels moment that's going to be coming.
Do you know what the episode's about? Can you tease us? I want to know. I listen.
I just said like, we're going to be in my feelings. We're going to be talking about the last 4 years, and it's going to be probably some supping. It's going to be good that we're going to talk about some things. So I look forward to it, but thank you so much for your time, Molly. You and everyone listening are impossibly amazing. Until next time. Peace.
Thank you for listening to the Women of YouTube podcast. We would love to know what you thought about this latest episode. So make sure to tag us with hashtag Women of YouTube with your thoughts.